Good morning, everyone. How are you? If we have not met, my name is Matthias. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. And Pastor Wayne is on a well-deserved vacation this week. So it's my honor and my privilege to be up here for a little bit and share the Word of God with you. As you might know, we are in a series. This series is called what? Crosswalk. And this is message number... I'll help you out. Three. Okay, good. And today I'm going to talk about relationships, the cross and relationships. We're going to have a great time, by the way. If you don't have it to be even really, really good, you stay interactive and you talk back, meaning you say stuff such as preach it, or you say come on, or if you get really inspired, you say preach it, white boy. I'll let you pick one, so you, whatever is your favorite, we'll do it on three. So one, two, three. All right. We're going to have fun. We're going to have fun talking about the cross and relationships. Here is kind of like a little thing. I'll tell you, by the way, when to write stuff down. And if I forget something, please forgive me. Say, I forgive you. I'm going to do my best, but sometimes I just get inspired, all right? And it's got to flow with the Holy Ghost at points. Amen. We're going to talk about relationships, and here's something. Write this down. Life change happens in the context of relationships. Life change happens in the context of relationships. Let me explain what I mean. Here's what I mean. If I said, take that paper you have and take your pen and let's do a little test. If you were to go back and go backwards from today, which is the cross and relationships, could you write the last 10 sermons going backwards? Sermon titles. So let's try it. Today is, I just told you, the cross and relationships. Last week, the title was the cross and marriage. You guys are good. And 3 weeks ago, then it would have been the cross and, yeah, I guess that one was good, me. And before that, ooh, now we were in a different series. That was called Legacy. And what if I said, let's go back in the Legacy series. Now, some of you are looking at me like deer in headlights, like, can I be honest? I preached for a few decades here, and I honestly would not remember the last 10 sermons I preached, and I would not remember the last 10 meals I ate. And I can be dead honest, if Pastor Wayne was here, chances are he would not remember that either. So don't feel bad. Now, what if I had you do this, though? Grab a piece of paper, grab a pen, and I said, on that same piece of paper, would you write down 10 people that have influenced your life, both good or bad? Because I believe life change happens in the context of relationships. So who do you write down? Your mom, your dad, your sister, a business partner, an uncle, a family friend, somebody you went to school with, somebody that made a difference in your life. See, chances are you would have a lot easier time writing down those kind of people, right? That have both done you well and done you harm. Life change happens in the context of relationships. That's, by the way, why here at Grace, we are so passionate about groups. So passionate that you should not just sit in rows, but you should make those rows into circles and get and do life together. You with me? It's something we're extremely passionate about. Now, today we're going to take a look at a scripture from Philippians here, and it's in chapter 2, verse 5, and I'm going to read a few verses so we have it on the screen for you, okay? And this is amazing. It says this. In your what? Relationships with one another, have the same mindset. Can you say mindset? Have the same mindset as who? As Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing but taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. Look here now. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on the cross. So here we get some relationship advice out of the Bible. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset. Say mindset. That means you got to focus your mind on perhaps something that is different than your normal human response. Because honestly, in any given scenario in life, if I can be really honest, I'm selfish. I care about me, myself, and I. And I am my number one priority. But in the scripture we read about Jesus, it says he was humble. He was obedient. He was a servant. He gave sacrificial love, even to the point of death. What an example for us to live that out in relationships with one another. Now, throughout this series, Pastor Wayne have been teaching us out of a theme verse. Today, I'm not going to bring it up on the screen, but I'll refer to you the scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 16. And it says this, that if anyone wants to follow me, Jesus said, he has to deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. So that scripture basically says that we gotta come to a point of letting go of what we think is most important for the benefit of others. Are you tracking with me so far? I told you, if you raise your volume a little bit, it's gonna be good. Otherwise, it'll be one of those like pointless sermons and you walk home. Now, this is a pointless sermon because there is no point one, point two, and point three. So you can walk away and somebody will say, what did Pastor Matthias say? It was pointless. Hey, ain't no pride up here. I just tell you the way it is. Let me tell you about the cross. The cross has two parts. Everybody say two parts. Everybody grab your hand, left or right. Hold it up like this. And I want every single person in this building to do this, up and down. And I want you to say vertical. That's the first part of the cross, right? Now I want you to do this. Horizontal. Some of you feel like you're in Catholic church right now. Sorry for bringing up bad memories, or perhaps they were good. What do I know? Okay, are you still with me? Good. So the cross has two parts. Number one, my relationship between me and God himself, and you have that relationship through Jesus Christ and him alone. Okay? I am here to tell you this, that if you have this relationship solid, it's going to be easier for you to deal with people on the horizontal level, especially when they hurt you or harm you, do bad to you, misbehave, and do what us humans do, let other human beings down. You got to keep it straight this way and have your focus on God himself. That is number one. Now, in order to break down relationships for you, I got to take this book and I got to go all the way down to the first book of the Bible. What is the first book of the Bible? Genesis. Genesis means beginnings, and this is the book of beginnings. And here's how it begins, right? It begins with relationship. You have the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they say, let us make man in our image. I'm not going to dive into that, but that's how it begins. And we find out on the first page of the Bible that God starts to create. And we learn that God, in verse 3 of the first chapter in Genesis, he creates light. And God says, it is good. Three words, right? And then we fast forward to verse 10. And he creates water and he creates land. And he says, are you guys ready? It is good. Some of you have not understood that I preach better if you help me out. Let's try this out, okay? We're going to do this all together. It's three words. Are you guys ready? Say, I'm ready. Here we go. It is good. Now I want you to keep that up. Are you ready? So God then creates vegetation, and God says, and then God says, I need to create a separation between the day and the night, and he creates the sun and the moon, and God says, and then God creates all the sea creatures, and God says, and he creates all of the land creatures, and God says, some of you are slowing down on me. But you know what throws me off when I read the Bible? chapter 2, verse 18. Check this out. It's in the context of relationships. The Lord God said, it is not good. What? For like all of these days, it is good. 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 I mean, he's not really talking to nobody else but himself and creation. So who is there to correct God? I mean, inquiring minds need to know. God himself goes, whoa, I need to add to this. It's not good for man to be alone. Here is where we can understand something deep about relationships. God created us to have connections with other human beings. He created us to live in community. He created us for relationship. And when we isolate ourselves, and when we guard ourselves, and when we shield ourselves by making ourselves alone, we are defeating the very essence of why we were created. Now here's the deal. If you're in here today and you are an introvert, you're gonna hate me today. And this message is like, it's not for me, right? I mean, yes, I can define so you know if you're an introvert or not. When we say, hey, welcome to Grace. Now we're gonna, and sometimes Pastor, he'll take it to another level. You all know Pastor Wayne. We're gonna take 3 minutes and you're gonna get to know somebody you never met and have a conversation. Oh, you hate him. It's like, Who in here doesn't really irk when we greet people like that? Let me see. Just made some introverts raise their hands. Ha ha. You feel even more uncomfortable by doing that. So here's the deal though. We got to learn to push ourselves. To get out of our comfort zones. Why? Because God has an amazing purpose for us. And you cannot do that alone. You're gonna get some good stuff today. So God says, it's not good for you to be alone. Why? Here's why. Write this down. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. Oh, are you sure, Pastor? Let me read from Ecclesiastes, and this is what it says. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Who wants success? You're stupid if you don't raise your hand right now. Straight up. Straight up. Who wants some success in your life? Thank you. I mean, I don't want to fail. It says this. They can help each other succeed. But look now. Sometimes we do fall, don't we? Or am I the only one that has? Am I the only one that has, I said. The Bible says a righteous man can fall one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, but he gets back up again. Now look at this. But if that person falls, the other can reach out and help. That's why it's good to have people around you. Yes. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. See, honestly, our human go-to and our default is, I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to be in charge of my life. And it's hard to be vulnerable sometimes and let people in. But the honest is this, I need people around me to make me better. I need to surround myself with people who are better with finances than myself, people who know the Word of God better than myself, people who can pray better than I can pray, because I want to be like them. I want to be like them, and I want to learn from them, and I want to surround myself with people that will help me even if or when I fall. That's good preaching right there. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Write this down on your piece of paper. We focus on or we know who we are. We focus on or we got to know who we are. Whenever I do marriage counseling with people, like premarital counseling or coaching, whatever you call it, before somebody gets married, which by the way is a requirement at this church. We had somebody call this week. I'm like, hey, we're going to get married in like 2 days. Good luck on that one. That's probably not going to work out by one of us. We take this pretty serious. Marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant. What a powerful message Pastor Wayne preached last week, by the way, about two people walking up to the altar, contrasting that with how sacrifices were brought up to the altar, and they were brought up to the altar to die. We've got to lay down our lives and die to our selfishness, our own ambition, our greed, right?
What a powerful message.
But when I sit down with a couple before and as they're preparing to get married, I always grab a piece of paper or a napkin and I make a pyramid and it looks something like this. And I say, let me talk about relationships for a moment, okay? So I say, here's how it works. And let's see, let me bring up a little picture of me and Danielle, me and my wife. Here we go. That's me, pretty skinny, looking good. Not much up there. It's pretty empty going on up there, but I don't know. That's me, and ooh, she looks good. Hey, babe. There she is, Danielle. I mean, you've been married 23 years. You just got to appreciate what you have. Hello. Here's how it works in a relationship. In every which way, I want to get closer to my wife. Emotionally, relationally, sexually, in every single way, we want to connect with each other, right? The problem between two human beings is that if you stay down here, there's a pretty big distance between us and we're pretty different. So when I talk about this to a young couple, I say this. Here's what you need to do. Instead of focusing on your other one, like your husband or your wife, individually, without that, you need to focus on God. Because if you climb this way, look what happens. The closer up individually you get to God, the distance, and look at this next slide now, the distance up here is less than it is down here. Why? Because I'm not aiming towards the other person, I am aiming towards God. You see what I'm saying? Okay, that's pretty good right there. This is kind of saying you need to focus on the vertical instead of the horizontal. You see, I'm going somewhere with this. And if you focus on this, this stuff will just get better. Are you with me? This is why we would get a scripture such as Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. That would say this. Hey, focus on or seek after or aim for one thing. For God, for the kingdom of God, the things of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. And then all of these things shall be added unto your life. Meaning, when you prioritize the vertical, the horizontal things will be there. You with me so far? Hey, is this too deep? All right, good. It's going to get really, really good, okay? This is just kind of setting the standard, and then I'll get going. I did not have an energy drink this morning, just a little bit of coffee, that's it. All right, good. I just don't want to scare you. Passion comes from the Holy Spirit, my friend. Passion is not natural. Passion comes from the Holy Ghost. I truly believe that. The Bible says there's a fire shut up in my bones that I cannot contain. I'm telling you, it's right there. Just ask for it. He'll give it to you. It's scary, but He will. Let me talk about marriage for just a moment because I need to address this. You know, the Bible says this, that for that reason, a man shall leave his mother and father, and he shall be united with his wife. It says the two shall become what? I'm helping you out here. Two shall become one. Here is what it doesn't say. Are you ready? It does not say that two halves will become whole. It does not say that. It does not say that the two halves will become whole. What I've learned is this. In over two decades of ministry, is that when two people that are half filled up get into a relationship, they will literally start to go through hell because they are not ready on their own. Instead, they say stuff like, oh, he just fulfills me. No, he doesn't. He cannot fulfill you. He cannot complete you. Only Jesus Christ can. Only Jesus Christ can make you the woman you're meant to be or the man you are meant to be. No other person of the opposite sex can ever complete you. You need to focus on Jesus and Him alone. That's good. Write this down on your notes. Happiness is not finding the right person. Happiness is being the right person. Oh, that will tweet. It's time to say, I am not out there looking for someone to fill a void in my life. I am being the man I know I am because of Christ in me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I think that's in the Bible. That's why you got to die to yourself. You got to be willing to follow what Jesus said and have the same mindset as he did in all your relationships. And we're going to get there soon, because especially in the areas where you've been hurt and wounded, if you don't have this correct, it will wreck everything on this level. Are you tracking with me? Good. All right. Here's another aspect of a relationship. You should write this down. The right person at the right moment can produce a miracle. The right person at the right moment can produce a miracle. Whoa. What do you mean? All right. Who remembers, if you've been around Grace for a while, about a year ago, Pastor Wayne taught a series called Wreck the Roof. You remember that vaguely? It's from Mark chapter 4. And he talked about this man who was paralyzed. He could not walk. But this man had a few good friends. We don't really know how many, but let's say there was 4 or 5 of them. And they decided, we need to get this guy to Jesus. Now, he could not walk. He could not make it on his own. But they said, we are willing to carry you towards your miracle. Oh, this is powerful. You need to get around people of faith that will move you towards the miracles that Jesus has for you. And even if you can't walk or believe God enough to get there on their own, you need to surround yourself with enough people of faith that will move you towards the miracles that Jesus has for you. They carried him. They got to another obstacle. There's too many people. They get up on the roof. They start to dig through the roof. You need to surround yourself with people that are passionate enough to believe that God has a miracle for you. We need to be the people that carry people to Jesus. You and I, can I put it into my life? You and I need to be people that carry others that spiritually can't see, spiritually can't walk. They don't know nothing, but I am a carrier of faith for them to believe that their lives will change when they encounter the cross of Jesus Christ. See, listen here for a moment. Friendships or friends are like elevators. They take you up or bring you down. There is only one option. Every friendship you have in your life, every relationship, business, relational, family, neighborly, it either brings you up or pulls you down. You got to choose, my friend, to surround yourself with people that elevate you. You got to surround yourself with people that don't bring you down. Here's what it says in Scripture. Are you guys ready for bonus Scripture? It won't be on the notes. It won't be on the screen. Proverbs 13:20 says this. He who walks with the wise grow wise. But a companion of fools suffer harm. I choose to say, I surround myself with people that are better than me. How do you do that, Pastor? I do that by intentionally seeking out relationships. I can stand up here and name name after name after name this last decade of people that are way past me in every area, financially, relationally, in ministry, that I have sought out to learn from on purpose. Some of them in person, some of them by going to conferences, some of them by buying a book, some of them by watching a podcast, some of them by saying, I am here and I can add value to you, not expecting anything back. But let me tell you, when you have a right mindset, God will bless what you do. I choose not to hang out with fools, and when I hang out with fools, I do that for one purpose only, to elevate them closer to God. I am there like an elevator, and they are on the bottom floor, but I know that they can go to the penthouse because God has a plan and purpose for their lives. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. We can't isolate ourselves and live guarded lives and shielded lives where we are lonely and we remove the blessing of ourselves from others. I mean, if you just go back to the scripture in Philippians, have the same mindset. In relationships, as who? As Christ. He was obedient. He was humble. He was sacrificial. And he gave everything. Do you know what? Today, we are 3 weeks away from Easter. 3 weeks. A whole bunch of you probably got some of these cards when you came into church today. And if not, we have tons of them out in the hub on a table, okay? Everybody say 3 of 52. Pastor Wayne has been challenging us. This year, 52 weeks, 3 weeks, there should be somebody sitting next to you that is not a believer. Look around. Do you see some empty seats? See one there. See a couple there. See some up there. Some up there. Somebody's supposed to sit up there. Somebody's supposed to sit up there. Somebody's supposed to sit there. You need to start to see these seats filled up. And my responsibility, my friend, is to bring somebody there, just like the people that brought somebody to Jesus. My purpose in life is to do that, to share the good news. How can I do that? Go out and get a whole bunch of these cards. We have a table right under the G, right out there in the hub. Take 10, 15, 20. Next time you go to the mall, take 5 minutes. I'm giving you permission. Each window. Lift up somebody's windshield wipers. God bless you. God bless you. Come to grace. You're going to a restaurant. You put down your tip. I'm not talking 18%. I'm talking like 20, 30, 40% tip. Can I be real? Don't ever dare to put down a grace invite card and don't tip well. Never. Never. If you put down our name, you put a big tip. But pastor, service was bad. Good. Tip bigger and put a card. And they're going to think about it. Say, God bless you. I hope you come to my church. And you give them a 40% tip. They are going to think about it. Oh, that was good. I'm sorry. I'm the only one liking that. Our money's gone, honey. I live out what I preach, let me tell you. You give these out. You don't put them in a purse in your car to throw away after Easter. You give them out. Are you with me? Say, I'm with you. All right, all right. Now let's get into the good stuff. That was kind of like, all right, and then we'll move into the good stuff. Here's the problem. Everybody say problem. Everybody say, uh-oh. Here's the problem. We are horizontally focused. I mean, another way of saying it is saying we're selfish. This might just be me. I mean, I don't know. That sometimes I care too much about what's happening to me instead of what's going through me. I'm too concerned with what somebody is doing to me instead of what God can put in me. And I'm so moved by all these external circumstances that sometimes even my vertical relationship with God becomes not as strong as it should be. See, here's the deal. I don't need my wife to tell me that she loves me, even though that matters tremendously to me. All I have to do is to look at the cross of Jesus Christ to know I am loved. All I need to know that my sins are forgiven is to look at that cross. Because on that cross, my friend, is my shame. On that cross is my faults. On that cross, my regrets have been redeemed. On that cross is everything that I have done wrong. And the cross says, I am loved. And do you know what I learned about the cross? On the cross, Jesus cared a lot about relationships. He did. I'm going to show you in just a moment. Blew my mind. The problem with most of us, or perhaps I should say it like this, my problem is that I am too shallow. You've heard a saying that we're an inch deep, right, but a mile wide. Hey, how are you doing, brother? Blessed. How are you? Blessed. How are you doing? What's up? I remember when I came to America in 1995. So I grew up, some of you are like, what is that beautiful accent all about? This is how heaven will sound. I'm just telling you. I'm a firm believer. So don't hate. Just participate, okay? Born and raised in Sweden, I came to the United States of America in January 1995. So it's been a few years now, okay? And at this point, I was studying in Minneapolis, Minnesota at North Central University. I remember it well. It was my second day in the U.S. I'd met some people the first day, and this was like my first day of school, the real day of school. And I was walking this long, long, narrow hallway in one of the main buildings. And this young man that I'd met the day before, he came walking towards me, and I came walking towards him. And he goes, hey, what's up? And I stopped to tell him what was going on. Upon which, he kept on walking. And I thought to myself, Americans are rude. Fast forward a few years. What's up? What's going on? How are you? Blessed. Do I even care what's going on in your life? I'm struggling enough to deal with my life. I mean, I'm just trying to be up here and be as shallow as possible right now. Not really. Because if I'm honest, not too often do I have the time to deal with everybody else because I'm dealing with my life. Just trying to be real up here. And how much do I really care? I mean, I want to care, but do I? And then I'm looking at John 19 this week of Jesus on the cross. Did you know that as Jesus Christ was in pain, in suffering, he was reaching out and focusing on relationships? He's looking down and he goes, woman, woman, there's your son. Son, there's your new mother. And it says that he took her in from that moment on and took care of her as he was in pain and bleeding. He was caring enough for someone else. What would I have been thinking about if I was on that cross? What would have been in your mind? Honestly, I wish my response would have been like Jesus. I mean, I really, really, really do, but can I be real? If that would have been me, chances are, Peter, three times he denied me. I knew he would, three times. He couldn't even stand up for me once. And here am I. What about Andrew and all of these other people in my life that were so close to me? Now they all ran away. They left me. What about Judas? That snake? That backstabber? He sold me out for just a little bit of money. Can't believe he did that to me. That's probably what I would have thought about. But Jesus, he was concerned about relationships. I want to be like that. I have a few words for some of you in this room. You are way too concerned with who has left you instead of focusing on who you have in your life right now. You are way too concerned with the ones that ran away. Focus on who you have in your life right now and what he has for you. Don't worry about it. He has your life in the palm of his hand. You don't need to worry about it. Let's take it deeper. Some of you in this room, some of us in this room, we've had betrayal. You've had business relationships when somebody robbed you from a promotion, they robbed you out of money. They just completely wrecked your life. Others, things have been done to you that are unspeakable. From perhaps some of the people you should have loved the most and should have been there to protect you the most. I have a word for you. Even Jesus needed Judas to get him to where he needed to go. Even Jesus needed Judas to get him to where he needed to go. I just need to speak life over you. If you go into the person you hate the most, that wounded you the most, that broke your heart the most, that ripped you off the most, that stabbed you in the back, chances are that person made you the strong woman that you are today. Chances are, because of that failure in that business relationship, you are as entrepreneurial as you are today. Because you went through that heartache, you learned the hard way, and it's not easy, and it was not right, but you are better because of it, and God used that to get you to where you are today. Don't worry about all of that pain. Worry about where you're at today. He has you in the palm of his hand. Jesus needed Judas to get him to where he needed to go. Pastor, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know. You're asking me to forgive someone? You don't know. I don't. I can't. I know you can't. unless you tap into power that comes from above you. Unless you tap into a relationship where you can receive mercy. And as you receive mercy, you release mercy. As you receive healing, you extend healing. As you receive forgiveness, you extend forgiveness. As you receive a second chance, a third chance, and a fourth chance, you release it to someone else. My friend, you need to start to receive what God has for you so you can release something over somebody else. This is a word for somebody in this room. You need to release somebody from the keys to your freedom that they don't even hold. Jesus Christ holds the keys to your freedom. He purchased you with the blood of His own precious life. He gave everything for you. Don't expect people to be perfect. Don't hold them on to expectations that are way past what they can live up to. You receive it, then you can release it. You receive it, then you can release it. I want everybody to stand up. This is going to be hard because the next 5 minutes, I want to ask you to do some stuff. It's for you. I want everybody to raise two hands like this as high as you can. You need to receive it before you can release it. You need to release everything that's been binding you and receive freedom, forgiveness, purpose.
From death to life, I will sing your praises in the wonder of.
Because when I see,
when I see that cross, I see freedom.
I see freedom.
When I see that grave, I
see Jesus. Come on.
And from death to life, I will sing your praises.
Let's sing it like we mean it. Yes. When I see,
when I see that cross, I see freedom.
Yes.
When I see that grave, I see Jesus. From death to life, I will sing your praise. When I see that cross, when I see that cross, I see freedom. When I see that grave, I see Jesus. From death to life, I will sing your praise.
One last time.
When I see the cross,
everybody look up here for a moment. That's how it begins. Am I saying it's easy? No, I'm not. In one of the freedom groups this week, somebody said they needed to just, like, give somebody a hug, and you know, somebody had wounded them tremendously. But the expression was something similar to this, where this person said, I felt like almost like a love from God coming over me. On my own, I could not have done it. And perhaps she'll never do it again, and that's fine. But in that moment, you receive it from Him. He is your healer. He is your deliverer. His blood was shed for you. I'm going to ask you to grab a hold of a communion cup that is right by your seat. And I want you to look up here for a moment. We're not going to do nothing with it. Just hold on. You don't need to open it yet. By the way, I opened one this morning. It splattered all over my shirt. Some of you have been wondering, like, is he a slob? No, I'm not. I'm covered by the blood. Covered by the blood. Not ashamed of my own mistakes, because I'm covered by the blood. That will preach. There's always dry cleaning, or I can buy another one. There's nothing more important right now for me to know that everybody in this room is good with God. Every eye open and everybody looking around. If you were to die today, do you know, sir, do you know, ma'am, that you would go to heaven? I'm not scaring you, I'm just saying, do you know? I know without a shadow of doubt that if I got into a car accident on my way home today, you all could do a celebration of life service next week. I don't want to die. I honestly want to stay around, see my kids grow up and married and probably be a grandpa or something, that kind of stuff. But I know I'm good. I know. I don't deserve to be good, but I just know I am. So I'm asking you, do you know that you are good? Because if not, the biggest relationship you need to have today is one where you say, in my heart, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He died for me and gave His life for me. I believe that in my heart and I confess it with my mouth. If you're here today, you say, I need to know that I'm good with God, with everybody else looking around. Everybody will see. Unless you're all the way in the back and then I'll see you. If you need to be right with Him, wave to me and hold your hand up like this. Boom, super proud of you. Way to go up there, way to go. Anybody else? Looking left and right. Yeah, proud of you. Cool, anybody else? If I missed you, I'm sorry. Nothing is more important. So let's do this quick prayer. And perhaps you prayed this a million times, but can we do that for like 6 or 7 people boldly raising their hands? How cool is that? Love it, love it, love it. My Jesus hung on a cross publicly. He was not ashamed. Never be ashamed. It's the most powerful thing you can do. So let's pray together. Say, Jesus, right here, right now, I say, I believe in my heart that you died on a cross for me. And I know 3 days later, you rose again. So right here and right now, I make you the Lord and Savior of my life. My past is washed in the blood. My future is covered by the blood. I am made new in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, I want you to grab the bread. I went and pre-opened my package. I want like be completely covered with the blood here. Still can't believe that. Okay, now it's going to get real. If you give me another like 3 minutes, is that cool? A little bit of overtime here, but there's some people in this room. You need to forgive someone in your heart before you receive this bread. Bible says, examine yourself before you do this. Because you are proclaiming by eating and drinking the death of Jesus Christ Himself. There could be somebody that you need to literally in your heart say, I forgive them and I release them. And I don't know how if I have the power to do it, but I need your power to change my life and my attitude towards them. Am I saying you will become their best friends and go on vacation together? No. You can like people on a distance. That's fine. You might need to make a phone call or send a text message to someone and say, please forgive me. You need to do that after church or on the parking lot before you leave. I'm dead serious. This is not a joke. Because this bread is a representation of a broken body of Christ. That He was crushed for you so that you can be whole. And as you hold that bread, I want you to think right now, who do you need to release? And perhaps that prisoner is you. Close your eyes for one moment. And if you need to let somebody go and release something right now, just quietly. Quietly whisper between you and God, I forgive so-and-so. I forgive myself. Make me whole and make me new. We thank you, Lord, for the body that was broken for us so that we can be whole and have completeness in you and through you. Thank you so very much. In your name. Amen. Let's partake of the bread together. Let's open the cup and hold on to it for a second. I was thinking about this morning. You know, sometimes we rush through communion pretty quick. The text tells us this. On the night when Jesus was betrayed. Pause. That's when this happened. And he knew he was going to get betrayed. He knew that he would be stabbed in the back. Wow. What an example. In our relationships, have the same mindset. That's powerful. Instead of me selfishly blaming people, if that would have been me, I'm praying that I would walk in forgiveness, that I would release people, not hold them prisoners. That I would be as concerned with people's well-being as Jesus was. I need to work on that. Perhaps you do too. So Lord, as we hold our cup up, we pray that this would be life-giving to us. That this would be a transfusion of blood, a transfusion of attitude, a transfusion of freedom over and into our lives. That as we receive from you, that we would extend mercy and forgiveness to others. In your mighty name we pray, and we receive this cup together right now. Before I let you go, let me bless you all. Hold your hands up to receive a blessing. Father, bless the greatest people on earth, the people of Grace Assembly of God. Turn your face towards them. Cause your face to shine. Extend your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness over them. Give an open heaven over their lives. Let them walk in prosperity and favor. I pray, let this be the greatest week ever in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you receive that, you say amen. Have the most wonderful day, everybody. God bless you.